You're listening to On Design on Monocle 24 Radio, brought to you by the team behind Section D, Monocle 24's dedicated weekly design show. I'm your host, Josh Fennett. In each episode, we profile a person, survey a place, or unpick an idea that's changing or challenging the design industry today. This week, I'll take the reins myself to chart the life and work of the late architect Josef Frank, an Austrian émigré who did more to advance the causes of Swedish design than most locals and left a lasting mark on his adopted homeland. Forget flat-packed furniture and modish minimalism. Swedish design is a much more interesting and expressive beast than those clichés suggest. To prove this point, you need only venture as far as an unassuming waterside shopfront on Strandvagen, Östermalm. Here you'll see a squiggle of white cursive script on a blue sign reading Svensk 10, literally meaning Swedish pewter. Inside, there's an altogether more nuanced portrait of Swedish design. The shop is a rolling, labyrinthine affair, brimming with colourful, clashing, cacophonous patterns. There are spindly-legged chairs, teetering lamps, and plush sofas the size of hatchbacks, as well as textiles adorned with beaky birds, plump fruit, and forests of foliage. It's a visual symphony, and a fairly noisy affront to the austere lines and quiet minimalism for which the Scandi style has become known. What's more, the man behind much of this decorative melee channeled the adulation of a nation that accommodated him when he was left stateless. Josef Frank was born in Austria in 1885 and educated in Vienna in a time of extreme upheaval and foment. Freud, Luce, Klimt and others were among the pillars of culture that dwelt here at the time. The scion of a Jewish family, Frank showed promise as an architect before interning in Berlin in 1908. Here he encountered a young Charles-Edouard Jeanneret, later known as Le Corbusier, as well as architects Mies van der Rohe, Walter Gropius and Peter Behrens. It was in Berlin that Frank first fell for Sweden, this time in the form of a music student named Anna Sabenius, 5 years his senior, who had become his wife and near-lifelong companion. All seemed set for Frank until an event that would foreshadow his eventual relocation to Sweden, the First World War, an event which upended the young designer's world. After the war, as the economic uncertainty of the Wall Street crash bit deeper in the early 1930s and a mad-eyed, mustachioed loon swept to power in Germany, Frank fled Austria. When Germany finally claimed Austria in the Anschluss of 1938, he succeeded in gaining Swedish citizenship in the following year. The act of kindness ultimately influenced the trajectory of Frank's work and the immigrant's love of his adopted homeland of Sweden. He moved to an apartment on Rundegatan in Stockholm, which is a short walk from the Svensk 10 shop, and began what would become an almost three-decade collaboration with its owner, Astrid Ericsson. Whereas in Vienna, the boundaries of modernism had been drawn, in Sweden, Frank was able to follow his own rules. He cast off the cudgels of mass production in favour of craft, espoused the beauty of nature over industry, and sentimentalism over rationality. Stockholm was the backdrop, but also the genesis. His work encompassed cushions, throws, armoires and objets d'art that were festooned with bright fabrics and peppered in primary colours. Many of these continue to adorn the still open shop, as well as some of the better appointed homes throughout Sweden. Frank himself didn't realise the importance of his work at the time. In his view, furnishings needed to be changed regularly, and he readily conceded that his own pieces may only be around for a generation. This observation, however, has been proved badly wrong by their continued popularity. Whatever his origins, Frank's work remains indelibly Swedish, and the Swedes tend to agree. His patterns and furniture grace Swedish foreign ministries the world over, as well as royal residences, and even featured in a blockbuster National Museum show during his own lifetime, an accolade unheard of for a living artist, let alone a foreigner. It's curious that newcomers to a city can sometimes see its promise more clearly than residents. It's stranger still that an Austrian émigré could create a body of work that is so influenced and distills what it means to be Swedish today. More so, I'd argue, than a flimsy Billy bookcase or a flat-packed wardrobe from IKEA ever could. You've been listening to On Design, a Monocle 24 production from the team behind Section D. You can listen again to the full half-hour show on Tuesdays at 1900 London time or download the podcast at any time. And remember, if you'd like to know more about Swedish design, Monocle's perfectly appointed Stockholm travel guide will be available in shops from June. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.